And next, I'm going to welcome up a woman who will remind us that our fight today is a fight with confidence, a fight of strength, and a fight that knows that we are on the path to freedom. I want to introduce our sole speaker for today. She's a member of the International Women's Day Committee, and she has the impossible task of bringing to you the history of IWD, the struggles that women face across the globe, and here at home, and to rally you today to fight against all these odds against us. And I'm sure she'll do the job just famously. Please join me in welcoming Beth Meslow, the BC Rep for the National Action Committee on the Status of Women and IWD organizer. Beth Meslow.
Women are amazing! Today is a day of celebration. Celebration for International Women's Day. And my speech today will be about our ability to celebrate today and continue our struggle through to true equality for women. And I hope you join me in this. I'll make it short, but I want your feedback. The celebration of International Women's Day, we are united here as women in Vancouver, but we are women of the world. 30% of the women living in Canada are immigrants and or refugees. 30%. And we stand here today calling out to our sisters around the world in celebration of their struggles, of our struggles for equality and justice. We stand here with our Aboriginal sisters, the original sisters of this land, all of us united in the celebration of women. I thank their ancestors for this opportunity, and I ask that we respect all Indigenous women's rights. The struggle for the recognition of Women's Day on March 8th began in 1910 in Copenhagen, at a conference of socialist women. A resolution was passed to formally recognize International Women's Day. But women have been united in struggles long before 1910. The women of Greece went on sexual strike against their men to stop war. During the French Revolution, Parisian women called liberty, equality, fraternity, as they marched on Versailles. Liberty, equality, fraternity. The Triangle Fire in New York City in March 25th of 1911 brought women to the streets again with the call for bread and roses, bread and roses. On the eve of World War I, Russian women observed their first International Women's Day, going on strike and calling for bread and peace, bread and peace. The growing international women's movement has been strengthened by four global United Nations women's conferences. Today, we stand in recognition of women's triumphs and our continued struggle. Well, Gordon Campbell rallies his troops to the call that BC is back. Women in this province rally to the reality that BC is backwards. BC is backwards. We celebrated in 1945 when the Charter of the United Nations became the first international agreement to proclaim gender equality as a fundamental human right. It recognized that no enduring solution to society's most threatening social, economic, political problems can be found without the full participation and the full empowerment of the women of the world. But we struggle. Right here in 2003, as that same United Nations on the Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination discrimination against women recommended that the province of British Columbia and its government research the negative impacts that its cuts have had on the women of BC. We have asked, and until now, they continue to refuse. We celebrate while women formally argue that unpaid labor must either be recognized as work or recognized as servitude within the UN system for the national accounts through the International Covenant on Economic and Social Rights. But in this province, we struggle because this government dismantles our labor code, initiates a $6 an hour work wage, and has the largest layoff of unionized women in Canadian history. So we celebrate today the hard work being done by HEU to sign up new members under the protection of a union. And we continue to struggle with this government that works to privatize more services, allows emergency rooms to overflow while seniors are forced to use hospital waiting rooms in place of home care and long-term residence. But we celebrate the successful struggle women made to finally get the crimes of violence against women and children recognized as war crimes at the level of the International Criminal Court. While we continue to struggle in BC, as women are murdered in their hospital beds, wrapped in restraining orders, and the women of the downtown East Side go missing for decades without justice. Throughout the world, women are going missing, dying from AIDS and HIV, being subjected to forced unprotected sex, survival sex, rape, stoning, and fire. Many are being forced into marriage as women and girl children through international sex trade, as mail order brides, or as pawns for pedophiles. These women and children are here in BC. Their oppressors are here in BC. Whether as a mail order bride, a domestic worker, a prostitute, a runaway, or girl children from Bountiful, they need our help. And instead, what does our government do? It cuts legal aid for civil matters, cuts victim services, closes women's centers, and lays off staff for much-needed language translation, social services, and legal advocacy. We celebrate, finally, and continually, the separation of church and state, the separation that allows both freedom of religions as well as freedom from religion. Under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, it is this protection of the vulnerable from the persecution of the powerful that enables women to struggle towards true equality, to be free to participate in the political and social institutions of our country. It is the strong interpretations handed down through our judicial process that ensures equality for women. Only a strong legal statement can women find secure space to advocate for equality. There must be no compromise through the incorporation of the Sharia laws or any other particular form of religious interpretation of women's rights. Equality is, first, self-sovereignty, the sovereignty of your body and your mind. For women to be equal, they must have the freedom of choice in every area of their lives. Today, we stand here, we celebrate the small successes in large global arenas. While we continue the big struggles in our small grassroots arenas. Over the last decade, there has been a disconnect between the grassroots reality of women's experience and the diplomatic work and language used to impact world organizations. This disconnect has allowed space for the abuse of women through economic globalization, the increase in poverty and insecurity, the rising religious and cultural fundamentalism and militarism, HIV pandemics, conservative and autocratic governments, and the war on terror legislation. It is imperative that both avenues, the insider and the outsider, the global and the grassroots, are pursued in big and small arenas. We must take our slogan to heart. We must unite today for justice tomorrow. There are many members of the Gordon Campbell Neoconservative Club throughout the world. As we stand here today celebrating the amazing strength of a few women's centers that have held on through Campbell's attack, those that struggle every day to ensure that grassroots women have access to reproductive health care, our sisters at the United Nations level just this week led a struggle to ensure that George Bush's neocons do not remove the women's right to abortion from the global agenda. The UN Platform of Action on Women's Rights, signed by 189 countries in Beijing, was under attack from the United States. The US stated it would not reaffirm the action plan until the women's right to abortion was removed. The word went out around the world. Grassroots, global, insider, outsider, women united and began to email, write, phone. The U.S. has rescinded, as of March 3rd, its insistence on removing a woman's right to abortion. So women can add that to our celebration today. We are filling that space of women's rights from grassroots to the world stage. There can be no space for the neoconservative attack on women. No Gordon Campbell, no George Bush, no neocon agenda. Finally, looking forward in celebration today, as we join our sisters in our workshops to learn, support, and become active, we can celebrate because on March 8th, the Women's Charter will be launched as the beginning of the World March of Women. We can celebrate because 15,000 women are standing in Sao Paulo with a copy of the Women's Charter for Humanity. This document, created through the international process of discussion and debate between women's groups in over 60 countries, is based on five core principles: equality, freedom, solidarity, justice, and peace. The Women's Charter provides a positive vision of the world that women work to create. It is the beginning of a tour in Sao Paulo today and will travel to 53 countries by October. We will have an opportunity to celebrate it May 1st as it arrives in Vancouver. So we move forward. We fill that grassroots reality and global diplomacy space. We will not allow room for a neoconservative agenda to dismantle the human rights of women. We are united here today for justice tomorrow for all women of the world. We know that women united can never be defeated. Women united can never be defeated. Women are